In your bulletin, you will find a message about temptation. And you will find there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, of course, the temptation that all of us face. But that gives you something to look forward to. Because God, like God can be, He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is in control in my life. I trust this morning that you feel the same way I do, that He is in control of your life and the way you live your life and the things you do. But I want to share with you something from the pulpit to the back pew this morning. Many times we face a lot of trials. And God really spoke to my heart yesterday on those trials. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know where you stand as a church and in your home and in your personal living, but it would be fine with me just not to never have another October. Because it seems like October is that month where there are so many demonic and satanic movements. You have these cult religions, and October is their month because of Halloween and a lot of things that surround the emphasis of it. So they use October as their month to conjure up spirits and do these kind of evil things. And believe you me, there are other spirits that are out there other than the Holy One. And you say, well, preacher, that doesn't impact me because I'm a child of God. I've been saved by grace through my faith. But I will tell you, it does not take your heart and take your salvation away, but it does influence the way you live and your surroundings. And it's done that so many times over. And I pick on this month because what I said is true. But I want to tell you something. As your pastor, I know a lot of the problems that you face on a personal level because a lot of you take the liberty to share that with me. Most of you where you sit this morning, you know about your problem that you have. So it's very personal to you. But let me tell you what happens when you personalize your problem. And you should. We don't realize that other people around us are suffering. And in the position that I am, and I thank God for my position, because He has raised me up and He has taken me places and given me things I never thought I would ever accomplish in my life. And for that, I am grateful, God. But see, I see your hurting and I see the pain that you suffer on a personal level when you share that with me. And what automatically happens is I don't just see one family and their problems. I see 40 or 50. And I experience those problems with the entire church. I can remember sitting in the pew where you were just a few years ago when I had a problem. I didn't intend to leave anyone else. But the truth is, I can't help anybody else if I can't help myself. How can I tell a couple how to live and live together in harmony if I'm not living in harmony? See, you can't help other people in an area that you need help in yourself. So what happens is you see all these problems. Let me tell you what October has been. October has been a month. And Brother Mike was right on the money Wednesday night. And I'll tell you, if you miss Wednesday night, you miss the blessing. He does such an awesome job Wednesday night. It was a stellar performance by God through him, and I thank him. But he talked about the joy. And you know, sometimes through the midst of adversity and just different circumstances, it's like you lose your joy. And that kind of really hit home for me because one of the biggest things that really spoke to me Wednesday night was he said that it may very well be that you have not committed murder or adultery, but you have broke your fellowship with God. And I'm going to tell you, that's where I've kind of got to at times. I love the Lord God, and I'm led by God. Don't you ever doubt that. But I'm going to tell you what happens sometimes. Sometimes I get into some things that I wish I had never got into. I endeavor in different problems that I wish I would have never had ever had to hear. And you feel the same way I do. You wish you would have never had to breathe in. And I will tell you what it does is it makes you think just for a moment, well, it seems like the closer I've got to God or the more I've tried to be like His Son, the more problems I'm facing. And what it does is it weighs on you like a heavy weight. And what you begin to do without realizing, like I did, you begin to say, Lord, I don't do this intentionally, But I need to break off a little bit of our fellowship because it seems like the closer I'm getting to you, the more is required of me. And you can believe this. The more you know, the more you're expected to do. To whom much is given, much is required, not just in material things, but in spiritual knowledge. So I got to a place a little bit. I said, God, I don't want to know no more. I want to be close to you. I want to be your servant, but I don't need to know no more. Because it seems like the more I know, the more is required of me. And God, I've got just about as much as I can stand right now. So if it puts you in a place to where now you begin to back away from God, not intentionally, but unintentionally, but still the fact remains, there begins a fellowship being broke. Your joy seems like it's being severed. But let me tell you what this month has been. This month has been about death. Some of you have lost people in your family or in your friendship. Someone you've cared about, somebody you knew, they're no longer here. They have died. I have got calls now to where even some of our people have got in trouble with the law. This is our church. I've had some phone calls. Every phone call, I've been almost to the point where I was scared to answer the phone. Because I figured, what next, Lord? And then this month would be a place, too, to where people would call me and they say, you're not going to believe this preacher. I say, try it. I'm just about to the point I would believe anything. But can I give you my heart just for a moment so you know where I stand? That's what I've been called to do. I don't not want you to call me. I don't want you not to face your problems all by yourself. You shouldn't do that. But I got to thinking, I said, Lord, as the shepherd of this church, I said, God, I'm just about ready to ball up. I'm about ready to throw the towel in. Not because anyone, anything, anybody's done. I say, but God, I can remember a simple life. I can remember a life I didn't get those kind of phone calls. I was able to give a phone call like that. Just one problem. But the Lord began to speak to me in the silence yesterday. I had my sermon ready to come in and preach to y'all about temptation, and that's in God's time. He's the boss, I'm not. But He led me to this passage. And I thank God again for my dear brother. I can call Brother Mike Jones, and the God in him is the God who saved me. And it was just able to give me a peace. And I hung up the phone with him yesterday. I said, Brother Mike, I said, I can't preach that message tonight. I can't do it. I could, but it won't be right. Because there again, if it's not in my heart, it's not going to get to yours. And I ain't too much about a show. I'm not real flashy. That's just not my style. It's really not our style, is it, church? So I said, God, I said, now here we are. I said, I got a sermon. And I said, I've only got a few hours before showtime. I said, what you want me to do? Because, see, quitting and backing up is not really an option for me. Now, people take it. You know why? Because they don't know how to handle it. So the best thing to do is quit. Because that's the only thing you know how to do is quit. Well, let me tell you what. If that's all you know how to do, that's all you ever going to be. I like to look at myself as a finisher and not a quitter. And I don't think my God died on a cross for me to back up on Him. I don't think He gave His life when He said, I am the good shepherd and I will lay down my life for my sheep. That meant He meant business. Because you can't give nobody no more than your life. And I got to thinking, I said, well, God, you're going to have to do something. So I sat there and I began to weep. And God came to me, and He spoke to me. And this psalm has stood out in my mind. And I sat there, and I said, God, I said, what you want me to do? I said, I ain't never been here before. I said, let me tell you what the truth is, too. I said, the people in our church ain't never been there before. I said, if they do, they don't have the answer. We think we know what's right. We think what we need to do. The truth is, we don't have a clue. And I admitted that to myself yesterday. I said, God, you have raised me up and you have put me at the helm of the best church in the world for all time. And I believe that we have the making of everything that God would have us do. But sometimes strategically thinking and trying to put, because if the right people ain't in the right place, you're going to have problems. It's not to say they're not God-given talents or abilities, but they're just not in the right place. And see, I take pride in what I do. The good pride. I just believe we're supposed to be able to figure it out. I believe that we're men and women, not just men and women, but we're men and women of God. And that tells me that we got all the resources that we would ever need. And God led me there yesterday, and I looked at this verse in a different way, or these six verses. Will you look at the 23rd Psalm with me? He said, I am your shepherd. You shall not want. I maketh you to lie down in green pastures, and I will lead you beside the still waters. I will restore your soul, and I will lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. You may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you need to fear no evil. For my rod and my staff will comfort you. And he says in verse 5, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I will anoint your head in oil, and your cup will run over. And surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell, or have access, should I say, to the house of the Lord forever. So I'm sitting there yesterday, and you know what would have happened if I would have come in here this morning and I would have preached a message and this been in my heart? Well, we wouldn't have had service. Not real service. Let me tell you what happened. You come in here week after week, and there's something that just lies down beneath the surface. And you fight it because you're afraid of what somebody on your pew may think of you. You fight it because you know there's going to be a change in your life, and you don't want the people at your job to see that. Or you fight it because you've been one way all your life with your family, and you don't want them to think that you're soft now. But I will tell you something this morning. My God's alive. Because when He came into my living room yesterday, and has there ever been a time that I was ready to quit? It was this month. If I have ever seen adversity within our midst, it's been this month. If I had ever seen the resistance and the resentment and the jealousy, it was this month. And I got to thinking, I said, well, Lord, I understand this month, but what's the problem? Seemed like ever since the building hit the ground Tuesday, it's just magnified itself beyond measure for me. Then I begin to realize that the enemy is trying to prevent us. He began to tell me yesterday, he said, Matt, he said, if people are not mad at you, you're not doing your job. I said, well, God, I'm right where I need to be then. And he began to encourage me. And he said, Satan is not going to your enemy. He said, I'm not going to need to even prepare a table for you before your enemy if you're not doing what's right. I said, God, let's put a big spread out because he's here. See, the enemy is not going to come upon us He is not going to try to warp the way we think. Do you know what the enemy has done to me this month? He has told me lies about you, and I found myself mad at some of you. And the truth is, y'all didn't do it. You don't know nothing about it. And you know what's the truth? I have talked to some of you, and I would say you can see the difference in people's lives. It's almost like there's something just trying to take us over. And I said, God, I can't do this without you. And he says, Mac, have I ever lied to you? Listen, I'm telling you what he told me yesterday. You can take it or leave it. He said, Mac, have I ever lied to you? I said, no, sir. He said, have you ever taken one step without me? I said, no, sir. He said, have you ever had a problem that I could not handle? I said, no, sir. He said, have you ever needed for anything in your life that I have not provided for you? I said, no, sir. He said, do you think that I have called you to this place in your life and now I'm going to turn my back on you? I said, no, sir. He said, do you know that those cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me? I said, yes, sir. He said, Mike, have you heard a trumpet blow yet? I said, no, sir. He said, then get up and follow me. I said, but Lord. He said, but nothing. He said, what does Psalms 23, verse 1 say? It says, the Lord is my. The Lord. Not my false imagination. Not what my thoughts or what I think or my so-called expertise. He says, I am yours. And he said, don't you forget that. He said, because as long as I am your shepherd, you shall not want for anything. He said, now remember this, I'm your shepherd, you shall not want, because I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. You know that David was able to give this psalm because they had been in captivity. And they had been through so much together. You know, we've been through so much. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you what's the toughest thing on me is to get attached to y'all people. Love you like God makes me love you. And then you go and die on me. Man, I miss our saints just going home to glory. May their memory forever be in our midst. I'll pick one right now, and I'm not playing favorites, but I miss Miss Grace Hart. I said, Lord, I can't go get a taxi to them people. He said, my own family rejected me. My own family rejected me. And my early church and my disciples were nowhere to be found when I was being nailed to a cross. He said, you do what you do because I called you. And I begin to think about every one of you. And I say that because I say, God, whoever's there in the morning is the ones that need to be here. You may be here for the first time. You may be a long-time member. But I'm going to tell you, this message is for you. And we have been through a lot of change together. And he says, I am your shepherd. A good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. And he said, Mac, haven't I already done that? I said, yes, sir. He said, did I quit on you in spite of all of the adversity? I said, no, sir. He said, you needed this. Because there is times that God's going to have to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death before you will realize that He is with you. And this morning, I said, God, how will we do this? How will we close this? I said, because I began to sit there yesterday and the preacher mentality began to rise up in me, and I said, well, what point should I give and how should I close? I'm not sure if he said this or not, but it's almost like I heard this. He said, you big dummy. He said, you've got the best outline you could ever have, and I've already given it to you in the 23rd Psalm. I don't know about you, but this ain't no funeral. And no, I ain't heard no trumpet. So I believe that he calls for the worshipers to arrive. And he calls us to be everything that he made us to. And this morning, this is not about you and me, but it's about a shepherd who says that I will lead you and be your shepherd. And you shall not want. So you know what I think we need this morning? We need some time to meet God. To meet God. We've been coming for a while now, and we haven't met with God. Oh, God's been here, and He has stirred some hearts. But oh, no, listen. When God meets, the whole crowd knows. And this morning, we just need to meet with God. I'm going to ask my wife if you would come. And this morning, you know when God spoke to me yesterday? Was in the spot. He told me, he said, and you know what I was bound and determined to do yesterday? I was going to sit there until he came. Because my heart was burdened and the troubles seemed like they were beyond me. And God told me yesterday when he come into my presence, he just said, I'm your shepherd. And this morning, you may not know Jesus, but he offers to you this morning that he'll be your shepherd for the rest of your day.
and you will never want again. But you know what I do? God's good because He takes us through the valley to bring us back to the table. He said, you look so hard for me and you miss me. You try so hard but you don't. It's because I try within my own power and ability. But He said, Matt, that's not your challenge. He said, that's my church. And I instituted it and put it together for the Gentiles. I put it together for my bride. And He just told me, He said, Matthew, do what I said. He said, because I am rich. I am rich. They shall not. This morning, some of you need to be lied down in green pastures with tender green grass. And you need to feel that security. Because I will tell you, any pasture that God puts you in, you can believe one thing. The enemy are all around the wood line. And just on the other side of the hill, you can hear their chant. You can feel their presence. But Jesus Christ can dash His foot at the enemy and they will scatter and flee. And see, this morning, you need this shepherd who looks over this flock to dash His foot against the enemy that you hear in the background. You need your soul that has been broken. It needs to be restored. He said, you just come. He said, I'll restore your soul. And He said, all I want you to do is come. Not where the rushing waters preside. He said, but let me carry you to an oasis to where it is deeper and more plentiful and it's still. Where you can feed, you can feast, and your soul will be fed. I believe that He's here. I know that He was just right there on 5830 Kelly Young Road in my living room all yesterday afternoon, and I was ready just to call church on last night. I said, God, please don't make me go to sleep and have to wake up tomorrow with this on my heart. I said, because I'm ready to go right now. He said, if I give you tomorrow, He said, I'll be there with you too. So I'm not going to try to sum up the problems or the issues in this room. But I will tell you, the altar call is this. Just meet with Him. And let the shepherd lay hands on His flock and give you a chance. Because He said you will want nothing. You know that you can leave this place with your soul restored. And you want for nothing when you leave. You know that. You can do it. Will you stand with me? All eyes up here. I don't want anybody this morning to be hid behind a bowed head or closed eye. I want you to look this way, not seeing me, but looking towards me. The great shepherd.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. closely, hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. I sit head on the moving of the Holy Spirit. I see His countenance resting on your face. I know that there are angels hovering all around us for the presence of the Lord is in this place. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here, listen closely, hear Him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch Him, you will never be the same. I searched for peace among the shadows dark and lonely, gave up on finding that strong and lasting love. I tasted all the things that sin could think to offer me, but today I feast on manna from above. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same.
We're going to dismiss in a verse. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. But I want to tell you that all is well. I think sometimes God comes down and He moves in such a way that we begin to think the worst. But nothing better can happen to any of us than to experience our Lord and Savior. And if it takes Him putting us in a position that we do not want, for Him to have a voice, then let it be. Because I want to be led and directed